So if you have your Bibles, and I hope that you do, please open them up to the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. Now, as we arrive at the last sermon in our series, which we've titled God Over Uncertainty, we arrive and discuss a topic that has befallen all of us at some point. In fact, it's a topic that from the span of human history has affected all of us at some point. And so, with that being said, let's turn our attention to the reading of God's Word. What do we find? Comfort for our souls in the midst of uncertain days. Starting in verse 25 of Matthew 6. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Well, my good friend Kirkland and I have this phrase that we have often shared with one another for over 10 years now. It's a phrase that we use in conversation with one another when either of us does something that reminds one or the other of our youth or of of our dumber days or of things that we shouldn't be saying. And as much as I like to say this phrase, it certainly sounds better when Kirkland says it. I remember a couple of years ago, I was preparing some lunch or some ramen noodles for lunch, and I was putting some hot sauce on them and had put them on a tortilla and was about to eat it when he looked at me and said, bro, you ain't gotta live like that anymore. I'm sure if you know Kirkland, you can just imagine hearing him say that now. Well, my friends, as I was studying this text of Scripture in Matthew 6, I couldn't help but hear that phrase ringing in my ears. You don't have to live like that anymore. Now, in this passage of Scripture, Jesus is addressing his disciples in the midst of the multitude of the crowds that have been following his teaching for some time now. And as you know, this text is situated in what is most famously called the Sermon on the Mount, which begins in chapter 5 of Matthew and ends in chapter 7. Now, one of the major themes in the book of Matthew is the theme that Jesus is the Messiah and that Jesus has ushered in the kingdom of God. And by kingdom of God, Matthew means to communicate Jesus' rule and his reign over his people. Jesus is establishing, this is what Matthew is communicating, Jesus is establishing a kingdom where he is the king. Now, our passage of scripture that we study this morning has to do with the characteristics of that kingdom. It has to do with the characteristics of the citizens of the kingdom of God. Jesus is telling his disciples in this passage, here is the kingdom that I am building, and here is how you are to behave as citizens of that kingdom. Now, so that we're not mistaken, Jesus is not communicating here are the qualifications to enter into the kingdom, but instead here are the characteristics that will accompany the citizens of the kingdom of God. Characteristics that are expected not from those who have qualified themselves, but from those who have been qualified by the king himself. This is the idea. There is new air to breathe for the citizens of the kingdom. There's new air to breathe for the citizens of this kingdom. And that air is all grace. And Jesus is saying to those of us who are in, those of us who are citizens of this kingdom, but yet find ourselves accompanied by anxiety, you don't have to live like that anymore. Now, well, as we stated earlier, this is our last sermon in our series, which we've titled God Over Uncertainty. And as we have done through each of the weeks walking through this series, we ask a question of the text, a question that helps us understand the text, a question that helps understand perhaps where we're coming from when we come to the text. And the question that we ask ourselves when we come to the text this morning is, why shouldn't I be anxious about the uncertainties in my life? Why shouldn't I be anxious about the uncertainties in my life? Now that question is directly answered in this text of Scripture that we're studying this morning by a main point that Jesus makes. The main point that Jesus makes answers that question. Here's what I think that main point is. The Christian's invaluable worth to Jesus guarantees his faithful provision of our every need. My friends, when we become citizens of this new kingdom, after putting our faith in Christ, we entered into a personal relationship with the King himself. And it is that King, it's the King himself, who makes eye contact with all of us this morning. It's the King himself who looks at all of us this morning and says, your invaluable worth to me, it guarantees, it ensures faithful provision of your every need. Well, my friends, what could possibly be more comforting than to hear from the King of the kingdom himself, you are invaluable to me, and I will provide all of your needs. So, are you anxious? Are you fearful of the future? Have the uncertainties which have accompanied this season, do they have you this morning? Do they have you fearful of tomorrow? Do they have you worried about provision? Do they have you worried about these things? If so, the King himself takes his hand up underneath your jaw and lifts your droopy head, and he makes eye contact with you this morning and says, it's your invaluable worth that ensures my faithful provision for your every need. Jesus wants the citizens of his kingdom to see that we don't have to live like that anymore. That we don't have to live in constant anxiety, of fearfulness, of provision. That we don't have to live like that anymore. Now, Jesus is going to teach us how to deal with our anxiety through two points that I have found in this text as I studied it this week. And of course, his two points are going to serve as our two points this morning. So, first, God's provision for our needs. Verses 25 to 30. After just completing teaching on materialistic treasures, Jesus tells his disciples in verse 25, "Therefore, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on." Those who were in attendance at Jesus' teaching would have been like us in the sense that they would have had a laundry list of things that caused them to be anxious. A laundry list of things that caused their hearts to be gripped by fear, that caused them or tempted them to be anxious about provisions or things that were coming within the next days. And that is exactly why Jesus addresses it head on. He's not afraid. He's not afraid to look what is to some of us our greatest enemy. He's not afraid to look our enemies directly in the eye and to speak directly into them to cause them to be, to run away. He's not afraid that anxiety will disprove him or his power in our lives. But instead, he addresses it directly. And he says, do not be anxious. Why not? Well, in verse 26, he says, "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them." Now, there are many birds in northern Galilee where Jesus was at this, in this context, where he was doing this teaching. And it is likely that as he was giving this particular teaching, he was even pointed into the sky and said, "Look at the birds." God's general creation. They neither have the capacity nor the necessity to produce their own food. Yet, even they, from the beginning of time till this present day, have survived. The first anxiety that Jesus draws attention to is essential to life itself. It's the provision of food. And those who were in attendance, those who would have heard, who were in this context, hearing Jesus teach this in real life, there were few things that they were more anxious about than where their next meal was coming from. This was a real issue to them. And when Jesus said this, there is no doubt that it would have landed on them with great relief. The temptation to fear where their next meal was coming from was as real as perhaps our temptation to be tempted to fear where the next mortgage payment is going to come from. These birds are as an example, not to discourage work or the need to provide for one's family, but to show that a creature as lowly and relatively insignificant as a bird is sustained and cared for by the King. Therefore, Jesus says, if this kind of intentional care is given to the relatively insignificant birds, why are you anxious? Are you not of more value than they? In other words, the only provision that these birds know of is the provision of food. Yet they trust God. Jesus then says, have I not provided for you enough reason to trust me? For which bird did I ever shed my own blood for the forgiveness of their sins? For which bird has it ever been said, I'm going to prepare a place for you? To which bird has it ever been said, I've created you in my likeness and in my image. To which bird has it ever been said, I will give you the gift of the Holy Spirit? Is not your worth more than the birds, is Jesus' point. Have I not provided you with enough reason to trust me? Is his question to the crowd. Well, for those who were anxious, here's what they would have heard. Your invaluable worth to me, it ensures, it guarantees my faithful provision of your every need. Now, next, Jesus draws attention to his listeners' temptation to be anxious about clothing when he says in verse 28, and why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. How they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now it is said by scholars as they study this context and the people who were likely in the crowd at this time that many amongst this group of people would have been so poor that they would have only owned one set of clothes. That they would have only owned one day's worth of clothes. So Jesus is not harshly condemning the cultural necessity of wearing clothes, but instead he's pointing to his provision for the relatively insignificant creation to highlight the invaluable worth of the Christian in comparison, which should stir faith to trust his faithful provision of our every need. Anxiety has a way of leading us to the conclusion that God has not helped us and that we are all alone to face the problems that are right in front of us. Anxiety has a way of leading us to conclude that we are insignificant, that we are forgotten. But it is those people in particular that Jesus tenderly speaks to this morning. I think we could hear him saying through this text, your invaluable worth to me, it ensures, it guarantees that I will faithfully provide for your every need. Jesus is inviting his people, he's inviting his disciples to look up and to look out from their circumstances to see that they are no longer on their own, but now that they are citizens of the new kingdom. They're citizens of the new kingdom. And if they once worried about things like that, that's not how it rolls in the new kingdom. Here, the king himself ensures that they are cared for and that they are provided for. So Jesus tells his listeners, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Now friends, this is good news. Our faith is not a prerequisite of God's faithfulness. Jesus tells the crowd how little faith they have in God's provision of their needs. Yet he doesn't punish them as a result. He doesn't say, because you have little faith, you will receive rags for clothes. In the kingdom of God, there is no citizen who is not clothed by the finest clothes by the king himself. He does not invite those who have much faith into the palace while leaving those who have little faith onto the streets. All alike are clothed in the kingdom of God. What he is saying here to the anxious listener is, I know you once had to fend for yourself, but you don't have to live like that anymore. You don't have to live like that anymore. I know you once fended for yourself. I know you once were ruled by your anxiety. I know you once had to make things happen for yourself. But now, as citizens of the kingdom of heaven, You don't have to live like that anymore. You are mine. You are in my kingdom. You are invaluable to me. You are not forgotten. And I will provide for every one of your needs. So, my Christian friend, are you anxious this morning? Have the uncertainties of this season tempted you to forget your heavenly citizenship? Are you fearful that He has overlooked you? That your needs are too great for Him to provide for? Or perhaps that your needs aren't needy enough for His attention, and that He'll get to you when He gets to you? Well, if that's you this morning, I think He would look at you. I think He would look at me. I think He would look at all of us who have this ailment of anxiety. And He would say, are you not of more value than they? When we are anxious, we often need help refocusing our perspective. We need not only to be told, don't do this, but we need also to be told, instead, do this. And that is exactly what Jesus does in our second point, verses 31 to 34. God's plan for our future. Instead of being anxious about what to eat, what to drink, or what to wear, Jesus tells His listeners in verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Jesus is sure to tell His disciples that He does not want them to become passive in their freedom from anxiety. It's not so much let go and let God, but trust God and get going, as J.I. Packer says. So instead of anxiously trying to control our circumstances, Jesus tells His disciples, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. What He means by this is seek first His rule and His reign. Seek first not to interpret our circumstances as does the world, but seek first to interpret our circumstances as citizens of the kingdom of God. His plan for our future is that we would live in freedom from our anxiety by believing that as citizens of the kingdom, there is no uncertainty that can befall us, which He doesn't control and permit. Therefore, because the Christian is so invaluable to Jesus, we should confidently believe that He will always faithfully provide. So in light of all of this, Jesus says in verse 34, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. My friends, how dreadfully unpleasant it is to be anxious about tomorrow, only to find that when tomorrow comes, what befalls us isn't at all as bad as we were fearful. My friends, Jesus teaches us right here that we are to live with our uncertainties one day at a time. We're to live with our uncertainties one day at a time. He gives us this manageable task. Trust God for today. He does not expect us to solve tomorrow's uncertainties. He expects us to trust in today's provision. So, my friends, how are you doing? How are you doing with anxiety? How are you doing with your anxiety in light of the uncertainties which are surrounding us in this season? I just want to take a moment and share a few words of application for our help. If what we call anxiety is anxiety, then what is the opposite of anxiety is contentment. Therefore, Jesus calls us not to be anxious, and thereby He calls us to be content. Jeremiah Burroughs says in his little book, The Rare Jewel of Christian Contentment, Christian contentment is that sweet, inward, quiet, gracious frame of spirit which freely submits to and delights in God's wise and fatherly disposal in every condition. He goes on to offer some really helpful and practical advice here. Be sure of your call to every business you go about. Though it is the least business, be sure of your call to it. Then, whatever you meet with, you may quiet your heart with this. I know I am where God would have me. Nothing in the world would quiet the heart so much as this. When I meet with any cross, I know I am where God would have me, in my place and calling. I am about the work that God has set me. This rare jewel of Christian contentment is the opposite of anxiety. Contentment is what Jesus is calling us to. He's not calling us to anxiety, he's calling us to contentment. So how could we possibly have contentment? We can have contentment, as Jeremiah Burroughs helped us to understand. Because as citizens of the kingdom of God, whatever befalls us, we know. We know that the king sits on his throne as ruler and reigning, completely aware of the parameters of the kingdom. Therefore, whatever uncertainty befalls us, we know that it cannot come over the fence without his watchful eye, that it cannot come underneath the gate without his watchful eye, that it is not permitted into the kingdom by the gate without his watchful eye and without his permission. So, my friend, whatever is tempting you to anxiety today, may God give us the grace to be content. Be content, because whatever befalls us, it's befalled us because God has permitted it. And if God has permitted it, we trust that it is good, because God is good. There's nothing that is not good in God's rule and in God's reign, because there's nothing that is not good in God's character. So, my friends, I know it's hard. I'm speaking as if it's easy, but may God give us the grace necessary to cast off anxiety and to be content, to have that sweet and quiet disposition of the position that we find ourselves in this morning. Whatever uncertainty we are accompanied with, it is there because God has allowed it. God has allowed it, and God is good. So let us be content. Let us be content that he's never going to hurt us because he's harsh. Let us be content to trust that nothing can befall us by the devil that isn't permissible by God himself. Let us be content in that every single uncertainty and every single aspect of anxiety God knows about and God controls. Second point of application is this. Recognize your anxieties, not as opportunities to despair, but instead as opportunities to pray. We've been trained by our sinful inclinations that upon being anxious about something, to be fearful, and then which leads to despairing. We've trained ourselves when we become anxious to look inward. But what I want us to do is to look outward. So, retrain your anxiety to lead you not into despair, but into prayer. Whatever makes you anxious, take it directly to the Lord in prayer. Martin Luther, I think he humorously captures this point in this small quote. Pray and let God worry. Pray and let God worry. So my friends, whatever's tempting you to anxiety this morning, just recognize it as if it were a finger tapping you on the shoulder, inviting you not to despair, but to prayer. To turn your eyes to heaven. To turn your eyes. In fact, may we retrain ourselves that the anxiety which has constantly been an enemy to us, may we retrain it. May we retrain that anxiety to be a means of grace, to remind us, because we know that there's not a day where we're not anxious about something. Some of it's quick, some of it's long. Some of it's big, some of it's small. Whatever it is, may we retrain that anxiety to trigger in our mind not to look inward, but to look outward. Not to despair, but to go to God in prayer. Third, we should meditate not upon our uncertainties, but upon that which we know to be certain. From our text, this is what we can meditate on. Our invaluable worth to Jesus. It ensures His faithful provision of our every need. Our invaluable worth to the King Himself. It guarantees, it ensures that there's not a need that we have that He won't meet. My Christian friends, if the Lord provides even for the birds of the air, if He even provides clothing for the lilies of the field, how much more will He provide for those of us whom He shed His own blood? How much more confidence ought we to have than the birds of the air? That God will always provide. The birds, they only have the provision of food. We have the provision of the forgiveness of our sins. So, may we have all the confidence. May God stir up in us this morning to have all the confidence in the world that if there's a need, He will meet it. May we have all the confidence in the world that there is no need, too great or too small, that He will not meet. That's what I want us to meditate upon every single day. George Mueller, individual that we mentioned last week, man who is arguably one of the greatest men of prayer and faith since the time of the New Testament, says this: "The first great and primary business to which I ought to attend every day is to have my soul happy in the Lord." May we do the same. May we do the same. For as unpleasant as anxiety makes us, we hear the Lord say to us, as Kirkland has said to me before, "You ain't got to live like that anymore." My friends, we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And the King Himself says to us, the King Himself, who's not cruel, who's not unjust, the King Himself, who is perfectly righteous, who is always good, who's always perfect, who has never, ever made a decision that has been bad for His people. He looks at us this morning. He says, oh, you of little faith, you ought not to be anxious. I am your king. I am your king. I am on the throne. I am the ruler. I am the reigning king. Therefore, there's not a need that you have that I don't already know about and that I will not provide for, because you are invaluable to me. How do you know that? Because I died for you. I shed my own blood on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins. Therefore, have all the confidence in the world today that if you have a need, if you are worried, if you are anxious, take it to the Lord and you will find that He will provide for you. Because He's the King. He's the King of a new kingdom that's not like our world, that's not ruthless, that doesn't leave people to the streets. If you're a citizen, there's no hierarchy. We're all the same, and He provides for us all. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, thank you so much. Thank you so much that you have made us citizens of the kingdom. Lord, we don't deserve to be citizens of your kingdom. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve to have your attention. We don't deserve to have your provision. We don't deserve any of it. But you look at us this morning as Christians and you say, are you not of more worth than they? Lord, thank you. God, please give us grace to trust you. Please, please give us grace to trust you. Give us grace, God. Give us grace to be people who believe that we are citizens of a new kingdom. Please, please give us grace to trust that we are citizens of the kingdom of God and that you are on the throne and that you make eye contact with us and you say, do not be anxious. Give us grace to have confidence to believe you. We need so much help. Lord, we love you. We pray all of this in Christ's name.